Blog Talk Radio.
And we back, man. We have another day. Here we are. We're grateful Thursday.
He's saying to me, or what, you know, so you're not getting the whole message. You're not, you know, getting the point in your tent. And then, you know, things can be blown up worse than they need to be.
There's a right way of saying things and a hurtful way. And sometimes when you're angry, I think hurtful when I'll snap at him or the way I'll answer him. So I think in communication, you can't be like that.
And I like to run away and think about, you know, the argument and how I'm going to structure my, the way I'm going to approach it. And she just wants to get it out on the table right then, right there.
There's a right way of saying something and a wrong way, and you need to learn it.
That was easy.
Tune in to the Dennis Live Network featuring our superstar roster. Every Wednesday at 7:30 p.m., you got the conversation with Case, waking our urban people up. Followed by every Thursdays at 7:30 p.m. Central Standard Time with the Relationship Hour with Pastor Mo discussing real life matters and ministry and relationships. Then you have Hip Hop Fridays interviewing and playing the hottest pure talent from all over the world at 7:30 p.m. Central Standard Time. And every Saturday at 4 p.m. Central Standard Time, you are tuned in with the Dennis Live Show that is a general-based topic show interacting with the people. www.westernworld1.com.
All right, now we're back. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Brother Dennis, you with me?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we had having technical difficulties at the top of the show.
Yeah, I know, man. But we here, man. We here now. They're ready to do it. Let's get it.
Welcome, 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 everybody, to the Relationship Hour with Pastor Moore and Brother Dennis. This is our regular weekly Thursday night broadcast. The Thursday night broadcast deals with relationships, relationships either in a marriage or a relationship if you have a significant other, or a relationship even between a son and a mother, or a daughter and a father, or children and parents. And so we just cover the base on relationships. Like always, we would like to hear from you guys throughout the broadcast. If you feel like making a comment, or if you feel like calling in, it's totally up to you. The number in which you can call in is 347-838-9106, 347-838-9106, and just press the number 1, and we can get you on. Our theme scripture for the broadcast is Hosea 4 and 6, "My people perish from a lack of knowledge." And that verse is talking about a lack of knowledge of who God is and who God is to us, his people. And so we look to inspire people through his word. We look to have a good conversation around the topic during the broadcast. And we encourage any and everybody who wants to participate to do so. And so we just thank you for joining us on tonight. Brother Dennis, we got a topic that's talking about strife. And strife is dealing with conflict in relationships.
Right.
You know anything about conflict in relationships?
Oh, yeah, man. If I didn't, man, I wouldn't even have a relationship, man. People are going to have them. You know, it's going to be conflict of interest. I mean, it's just the fact of people, you know, if you dating the same thing, or that person is the same way and act like you act, you know, you're not going to have it. But you got to have your own personality. You got to have your own personality, and that's where, you know, that's where the conflict comes in sometimes. But you can get along, you know.
Right. Well, I mean, somebody might say, you know, conflict adds season or adds, you know, flavor to a relationship. If you just had a relationship where you come in the house and everything every day is fine and comfortable and peaceful and harmonious and no static or no negative electricity, that could be a boring relationship. So maybe that's another piece to it, another leg to it. If it wasn't any conflict in the relationship or any strife in the relationship, would the relationship be boring?
Right. Well, it probably would be, you know, because you get tired of seeing the same old thing. You probably, you know, from what I have heard, and, you know, some people do get tired of just one basic routine. You come in, you lay down, you get up, you go to a movie theater, you come back, you know, basic routine and just know nothing. I mean, and there's some people that I know that just don't like to argue, period. You know, I'm one of the people I don't like to argue, but, you know, the conflict of interest where it lies, that is communication. Nobody don't want to hear each other. So that's where you get that strike from. Nobody don't want to listen. And sometimes you got to get a mediator to try to, you know, catch it. But, yeah, I think it adds flavor, a lot of flavor. It's probably too much flavor. Sour lemon sometimes.
Right. Well, I mean, that's a question we could put out there also when we go into our panel. Does strife make bring an element to a relationship that, you know, keep it going, keep the heart beating, if you will, keep it moving, you know, is a little bit good. You know, maybe too much can be damaging to a relationship, but is a little bit of strife, you know, a little bit of conflict, a little bit of arguing here and there, a little bit of taking this side and taking that side, you know, healthy actually in a relationship? I don't know. We're gonna let the panel tell us, and we're gonna let the callers who participate in the program today. We're gonna let them tell us. We're gonna see what they what they think. Do they think a little bit of strife is good in a relationship to add season, to add that wave, if you will, to make it not seem boring or, predictable or, and some people say the spontaneity in a relationship doesn't exist anymore. You don't see people being spontaneous anymore, just doing something out the blue. However, when an argument jump off, or when something dealing with a disagreement jump off, all of that can kind of be spontaneous until you get to the point in the argument where you might start bringing up old stuff. But other than that, or you bringing up the same issue over and over again. But if it's a sincere argument and it's just something that just happened on the spur of the moment, that's kind of something new to a conversation that give you something to talk about. Maybe some people come home and don't say nothing to each other until an argument break out. And due to that argument, they get an opportunity to communicate. If the argument didn't jump off, you probably just won't say two words to each other. So I don't know. We're gonna see what comes out in the broadcast. We're going to see what is, what the panel has to say about it as we talk about this issue, strife in a relationship. So what we're going to do, Brother Dennis, if it's all right with you, we're going to go to another commercial. After the commercial, we're going to kind of get a little commentary going, a commentary. Of course, part of the broadcast deals with looking into the scriptures to see if we can find some help around this issue, around this topic of strife. And then after we hear the commentary, at that time we'll go into our round table and get the discussion going, strife in relationships. So I'm excited about what we're getting ready to do. I believe this is touching a lot of homes. I believe a lot of people, go through situations where they're having arguments, and if it's not healthy, it can contribute to the relationship going in the wrong direction. So we're gonna hear a selection, then we're gonna come back and go right into the commentary on this issue: strife, conflict, arguments. Which all of us, I'm going to be bold enough. They usually tell you don't say all, but I'm going to be bold enough and say all of us at some point, if we in a relationship, then experience some strife or some disagreement or some type of argument or some type of conflict, one with whoever our significant other is. So when we come back, we're going to hear our commentary surrounding this issue.
Tune in to the Dennis Life Network featuring our superstar roster. Every Wednesday at 7:30 p.m., you got the conversation with Case, waking our urban people up. Followed by every Thursdays at 7:30 p.m. Central Standard Time with the Relationship Hour with Pastor Mo discussing real life matters and ministry and relationships. Then you have Hip Hop Fridays interviewing and playing the hottest pure talent from all over the world at 7:30 p.m. Central Standard Time. And every Saturday at 4 p.m. Central Standard Time, you are tuned in with the Dennis Live Show, that is a general-based topic show interacting with the people. www.westernworld1.com.
Afraid I don't know how. Cause there's a possibility that you look at me differently, love. Ever since the first moment I spoke your name, from then on I knew that by you being in my life, things were destined to change. Cause love, so many people use your name in vain. Love, those who have faith in you sometimes go astray.
Things can be blown up worse than they need to be.
There's a a right way of saying things and a hurtful way. And sometimes when you're angry, I'm more, I think, hurtful when I'll snap at him or the way I'll answer him. So I think in communication, you can't be like that.
And I like to run away and think about, you know, the argument and how I'm going to structure my, the way I'm going to approach it. And she just wants to get it out on the table right then, right there.
There's a right way of saying something and a wrong way. And you need to learn it.
That was easy.
Welcome back. Welcome back to the Relationship Hour. We just heard a clip. We started the broadcast with that clip, just giving us a foundation for the conversation on tonight. Conflict, strife in relationships. Is conflict a normal part of any relationship? And if so, at what point does it become too much? In fact, our frequent tug-of-war arguments slowly pushing relationships to a point of no return. Is it possible to disagree without being disagreeable? Can a loving heart overcome a strifeful heart? And so these are questions when it comes to strife, when it comes to being at odds with one another, being against an issue with one another. You know, strife in a relationship, arguments. If it's a normal part, at what point do it become too much? At what point do you say, I just can't take it anymore? That's the last argument I'm going to have with this person, or I'm not going to let this person push my buttons, or I'm not going to let this person take me there. At what point when enough is enough? When it's happening all the time, when the volume or the conversation level gets to a point where it's not between you and that person anymore, but even neighbors can hear it, or even the children in the household can hear it, or what about if it's taking place so frequently and that becomes a part of the characteristic of your relationship or our relationships, and then people don't even want to invite us anywhere. They don't want to invite you to a house party or a dinner because there are situations going on in the relationship where you know, people know that you all are a couple that just argue all the time. What happens then? What happens when the disagreements or the stance that one takes on one side and the other takes on the other side, that, you know, it could be something small, you know, putting gas in the car. I thought I asked you to put gas in the car and you forgot. But instead of allowing the opportunity for somebody to say, well, I forgot, let me go do it now, it becomes, don't worry about it, I'm going to go do it myself. You know, it becomes an issue, just to springboard conflict or strife into the atmosphere. And so we want to talk about that tonight. We want to talk about strife and conflict. We want to talk about how can we deal with it in a way in which we can not allow strife to become a part of the driving relationships further apart, or tearing relationships apart, or being the slow pill that slowly kills the relationship. And so during this period, this segment of the program, of the broadcast, we have our commentary. And the commentary is just a quick 5 or 10 minute discussion on looking at the scriptures, looking at what can we get. What strength can we gain from the scriptures to help us deal with strife or arguments in our relationship? And so there are two, if you've been following the program, there are two scriptures that I usually give each week. And the purpose of giving these scriptures are to give us a foundation that'll help us have a place to turn to, if you will. Even with our mates, if we get together around the Bible and open up the Bible to these particular verses and scriptures, we'll be able to gain some insight, if you will, that'll help us in our relationships. The first scripture I want to highlight, well, both verses will come from the book of Philippians. The first verse I want to look at is Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. Very familiar verse, and it simply says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The next verse I want to look at is also in Philippians. It's that's going to help us as we move forward. It's Philippians 4, same chapter 4 and 6. And Philippians 4 and 6 will help us as we move forward to give us a second scripture that we can look at to help us. And that verse simply says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Be anxious for nothing. So we want to look at these two verses as in our commentary period that'll help us find a place in the Bible where we can go when we're dealing with trying to find strength, if you will, to help us deal with our conflicts or our arguments or our issues that we struggle with to find common ground. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. When you look at that verse, first it's important to get context on what that verse is, who's saying that, what's going on during the time, and how can we use that to help us in what we're dealing with at any particular moment. The verse is talking about or dealing with Paul being in jail at this point, writing to the Philippians, and encouraging them, thanking them and encouraging them. And in this particular passage, we know about Paul and his being content. And his contentment was not in himself or what he had or what they provided for him. He was content in the Lord. Paul trusted solely on God. He prayed to the Lord. He believed in what he was doing, and he didn't mind suffering if that suffer came because of his service unto the Lord. And so he suffered a lot, and he encouraged a lot, and he motivated a lot. And so his words can be an encouragement not only to the people he was writing to in Philippians, but it can be an encouragement to us today. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, let me just stop and break that verse down and so we can get some understanding. There might be somebody out there that say, all things? Really? You could do all things? And so it's important for us to understand that all things. We know that we can do stuff if we want to do it. You hear people say, well, if you want to do it, you'll do it. But if you don't want to do it, you'll think of every excuse in the world. This is not what Paul is talking about right here. Paul is talking directly to the will of God. And he is saying that if it be the will of God, all things are possible. I can do all things if it's according to the will of God. Through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. So let's break that out. He says, I can. When we're in our relationships and when if we're having strife in our relationships, and we're dealing with issue after issue every day, countless hours being given to the conversation that introduces strife or argument. And it wears not only on the time being spent, but it also goes to your spirit. It goes to your strength. It goes to all of that. You know, you can get wore out by arguing every day, even though it's just a verbal thing. More than just your voice is involved. You know, anger can sometimes get involved. Sadness, emotions gets involved, and that can emotionally wear you out and spiritually wear you out. And so when the scripture says, I can, most of us, if we put our mind to it, we can argue all day long. We can hate all day long. We can have strife and conflict all day long. But we can also love all day long. And so we don't have to choose to be in strife. We don't have to choose to be in conflict. We don't have to choose to be in argument. I can love. I don't have to strife. I can substitute strife for love. And so then the question becomes, do we want to love? Do we want to have peace? Do we want to have harmony? Do we want to have unity? And so when we're looking at I can, that's speaking in the affirmative. I can do some things if I want to do it. And when it gets to the do all things, and we know that we in ourselves, in and of ourselves, can't do all things, but if it be the will of God, we can do what God wants us to do, because through Christ, he will strengthen me. And so if my world has become a strifeful world, if my world has become a conflict world, if my world has become an argument world, then that has become all things to me. And when I'm at work, I'm thinking about when I get home, I got to argue. When I'm at home, I'm thinking about, my God, when is this argument going to end? When I'm at church, I'm praying about not arguing or having conflict or strife. So my whole being has become dealing with or living in a strifeful relationship or living in a conflict relationship. And so it becomes all things to me. So we got, I can do all things being the will of God with the strength of Christ. Now, this is an equation. I'm working with my daughter now on surface area and different formulas that she have to learn to solve the problem. Here's a formula right here to solve a lot of our problems. Let's take the I can. Let's take us. Individually, we can say to ourselves, I'm going to do this. Whatever that all thing is in our life, if we desire for to have a relationship, and if that be the will of God that we have a relationship and that we work through these issues and that harmony and peace and love surfaces on our relationships, then that I can do all things if it's the will of God. And if I got Christ, if I believe in Christ, if I believe in something outside of myself, Lord have mercy, if I believe that there's a power source that can enrich my life that is not of my own control, oh, Lord have mercy here, then I have something, somebody that I can reach for that can give me the strength to and the wisdom and the knowledge to handle these issues or the situations that come up in our relationships. And so that I can, that's us speaking in the affirmative, I can do this. All things, and that all things, if it be the will of God, I can do all the things that he wants for me to do in my life. If he wants this relationship to be good, then I can, with the strength of Christ, influence with God's help the relationship to get better. Now, when we're missing some things, when we're missing some variables, that's when the problem we might experience some problems. If we're missing the fact that we're trying to handle everything from our own understanding, we're going to fail. We're going to fail. Because it's some things we have to rely on a supernatural power that our own power source cannot handle. And a supernatural power, it doesn't come from us. It comes from somebody that got that supernatural power. And so if it's going to take a miracle to take place in our relationships to get them back on track or to get that spirit, that negative spirit of conflict out of our relationships, we got to have something to give us some strength, to give us some power, not to fight against each other, but to fight against that spirit that exists in our relationships. Let me move on. My spirit is feeling happy right here, but there are so many relationships that are going through arguments, so many relationships that are slowly separating, so many relationships where people are at each other's literally head or necks verbally, that we're just throwing up our hands saying it's better to look at that person from a distance than it is to interact with that person in an intimate way. And it's better not to even be involved in the relationship. It's just better to jump around. We had a song that we played on the broadcast called the Cupid Shuffle, and we said that was an analogy for people are jumping around. They doing the Cupid Shuffle, jumping around relationship to relationship or person to person to avoid having a true commitment with one person, and figuring that if I jump around, I will avoid strife or the headaches of a relationship, and that's not true. You can jump around and jump right into a headache. We can jump around and jump right into a strifeful person, and so it is helpful for us if we're in a relationship. If it's the will of God, then we can say I can. I think Jay-Z made a song say, I think I can. No, the verse 13 says, I can do all things. And when somebody says, I just can't, no, they ain't reading the Bible. If it be the will of God, say this verse with me. I can do all, I just can't get past this. Yes, you can. If it's the will of God for you to get past this situation, if it's the will of God that we're going to overcome this negative spirit, then we can do it. But when we don't have anything to support us that is not of us, then what happens is we find ourselves hitting dead ends and throwing our hands up and not seeing the light at the end of the tunnel because we're not going to the light. We're not going to the Word of God. And so the second verse, I pray that we kind of got something out of that. The second verse says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Now, a prayer life in a relationship is so important. In fact, when we went to the altar to get married, before anything started, usually there's a prayer somewhere as a part of the ceremony. Prayer has to be a part of any equation when it comes to strife, when it comes to trying to get that negative, strifeful spirit out of us, out of the relationship, out of the home. We have to have a prayer life. No prayer life, no communication. Meaning that if we don't know how to talk to God and submit ourselves to talk to God or humble ourselves to talk to God on a regular basis and take to him what our issues are, present it to him, and leave it with him. We're not asking that his will come into our relationship. And so what ends up happening is, because we don't have a prayer life, which is communicating to God, and we're constantly at odds with each other, we're constantly strifing and tug-of-warring with each other, there's a voice missing in the argument. And let me explain what I'm saying. When I say there's a voice missing in the argument, there has to be or needs to be another voice to speak to the man's heart and speak to the woman's heart. Discernment, confirmation, revelation, all of that is something that comes from outside of us. That's divine revelation, divine confirmation, divine discernment on issues or situation that goes on in our relationships. And when you see that word divine, that means that there's a holiness to it. There's a something that didn't happen in our brain. It doesn't matter what our IQ is. It doesn't matter how smart we are. Every now and then we need another voice to help us in our situation. And when we don't pray to God, when we don't ask God to help us in the situation, then we tend to listen to other voices. And so those other voices may be friends of people. Those other voices may be relatives of people. Those other voices might be, I saw this movie. The Love Jones, and that's what we're going through, is what the Love Jones movie was going through. And that's furthest from the truth. Each relationship is different. God made it different. Each person is different. So if each person is different, each relationship is different. We may share some commonalities, and, you know, if you pay rent, you might have people that pay rent. If you, got bills, people got bills. If you... and there may be some commonalities, but we're different. We're individually made. We're uniquely made. And so if we're different and we're unique and the creator who created us is God, then we have a person that knows all about us, who we can go to, who know our hearts, who knows what's behind an issue or what's behind the anger, or what's behind the frustration, or what's behind, he knows our hearts. And if we go to him and pray to him and ask that his will be done, and ask that he makes plain to us what is going on in the situation, he might say, or he might show that, you know what, the enemy is trying to tear you guys apart because he's afraid of what can happen if you work in unity, if you work in harmony. He's afraid of all the things that you can accomplish in your life, all the blessings that you will be receiving because you decided to be as one. One flesh is what the Bible says. But as long as he can keep you one flesh but separated, that looks weird. It looks weird when you're pulling at your flesh. Even if you got on the L and you seen somebody pulling at their flesh, you'll think something wrong with them. And this is what's happening in our relationships. We're pulling at our flesh, and it looks weird when we're supposed to be one flesh. It sounds weird when we're supposed to be one flesh. And so we have to get that third voice, the voice of God. We have to go to him in prayer, and we have to make known what the scripture says. It says, but in everything by prayer, in everything. It didn't say some things, a few things, in everything. And so the question, are we praying to God for everything? Lord, before I leave this house, be with this car. Protect me. Make sure the wheels don't fall off when I get on the expressway. Make sure nobody, fall asleep at the wheel. Make sure somebody ain't putting no makeup and not looking at the stop sign. Make sure somebody ain't, eating a hamburger and crashing to me. Make sure somebody, there's so many requests that we have or we should have on a daily basis. people getting killed every day, little babies being murdered every day, and for us not to make our requests known to God through prayer and supplication, the question may become, do we really want help? And so, and that's a serious question within itself, do we really want help? Have we received, have we gotten, and I only got about 5 minutes to go in the commentary. We're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to come back with our panel. We got a real good panel that we're going to throw this issue around, strife. And but every broadcast, we want to make sure that we have some scriptures that we can look up. And then when we get in them heated moments, let us go to the Word of God. Let us pray. And let's see if some of the temper can subside after getting into his word. Let's see if some of the strife will subside once we get into his word. Because, you know, we've tried everything else. We tried to go to other people. We tried counseling. But have we released our hearts to God? Can we release our hearts to God? Can we release our hearts to God? Can we say today, you know what, I'm not going to argue. Even though I'm in that mood, I'm in that spirit, listen to what we say to ourselves now. Even though I'm in that spirit, I'm not going to argue today. That means that spirit has set up shop in our bodies, and it's just sitting dormant, waiting. Any little thing will bring it out. And what I want, I'll leave you with this. I gave you the two verses. I'll leave you with this. So you could do a search on those, and you know, if you got your study Bibles. But I'll leave you with this. I want us to record. The next time you get into an argument, I want you to record it. I want somebody with these cell phones and all the technology that exists today, I just want you to push record. And then in your best, sweetest, harmonious moment, I want you to replay that argument. I guarantee you it's going to be some things that you hear that you're going to say, wow, did I say that? And at that moment when you say, wow, did I say that? That's letting you know that there was a spirit that was not of God, and really that was not of you, that was in you at the time to make you go there, if you will, or say some stuff totally out of pocket, and you don't even know you saying it. You just seeing how mad your mate is getting, but you don't even know what words have come out of your mouth. Because that spirit is trying to kill, steal, and destroy, trying to kill your relationship, trying to destroy your happiness, trying to steal your joy for years. And I don't know if we know people who've been miserable for years. And not because they with somebody, but because there's a spirit that's sitting in the inside of them that it don't matter who they with. It's just another person, but that spirit is going to have his way. And so we have to go to God in prayer and make our request known. Cleanse me. Search me. Make me better. Before I can point a finger at somebody else, help me deal with the three that's pointing back at me. So I praise God for you listening to the commentary on the Relationship Hour. We do it every week. And we're going to take a break. Then we're going to come right back with our panel. And I got some good questions for the panel. The panel will carry the broadcast until the end of the program. And so if you want to call in and you got a question for somebody on the panel, please make your question known. Or if you want to, even if you know one of the members on the panel, text them while we're on the air so they can read what your question is or what you want said live. So we're going to take a quick break, and then when we come back, we're going to get right into the lively conversation with our panel around this topic that we're dealing with tonight, which is strife.
To the Dennis Live Network featuring our superstar roster. Every Wednesday at 7:30 p.m., you got the conversation with Case, waking our urban people up. Followed by every Thursdays at 7:30 p.m. Central Standard Time with the Relationship Hour with Pastor Mo discussing real life matters and ministry and relationships. Then you have Hip Hop Fridays interviewing and playing the hottest pure talent from all over the world at 7:30 p.m. Central Standard Time. And every Saturday at 4 p.m. Central Standard Time, you are tuned in with the Dennis Live Show. That is a general-based topic show interacting with the people. www.westernworld1.com.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back. We praise God for everybody who is tuned in to the broadcast on tonight. Brother Dennis, are you here with me?
No, yeah, I'm right here. Let's see, loud and clear.
What did you think about the commentary?
Oh, well, it's pretty cool, man. I mean, you know, the way that you're saying so far is, you can't really gather too much of nothing without Christ, you know. The way that you're breaking it down, to me, it makes a lot of sense. You know, I was looking at it as far as when I was reading the topic, I was looking at the negative side of it. You know, you can still hear that person nagging all the time. You know, when you think about strife, arguments, disagreements, but then you brought the positive side of it. So it's kind of making me look at things in a different light a little bit.
Okay.
So that's what I'm gathering so far.
Praise God, praise God. What we want to do, we want to bring the panel on. And we want to keep the conversation going around the topic of strife. And we got what we're going to strive to do is we're striving to have every week we want to have these panel members be with us and kind of, as we bring up the topics, throw around the topics and just have a regular conversation around it. And so the panel, of course, is Brother Dennis, myself, Sister Trina, and Brother Gerard, and we got one other person that we pray will join us during the broadcast. And so right now I got the panel on. I got Brother Dennis, I got Sister Trina. You with us?
Yes, I am.
Okay, and then we got Brother Gerard. Brother Gerard, you on with us?
Amen.
All right, so the subject is, or the topic is strife. And so we're talking about strife in relationships. That's really arguments, conflict that take place in a relationship. And I've played a clip at the beginning and in the middle of the program that had people, couples, just sharing what they felt about having conflict in a relationship and what was the key to help them deal with it. And one lady said that communication was the key. And so we know communication is a part of it, but we also know that communication could be a part of it. You know, it could be a part of solving it, but it could be a part of the problem. And so I think we, you know, by listening to the commentary, you know, we can have some help to deal with some of the issues, taking it out of our hands and putting it in the hands of God. So strife in relationships is the topic for tonight, being strifeful. You know, if conflict is a normal part, at what point does it become too much? You know, tug of wars, you know, are tug of wars slowly pushing relationships to a point of no return? You know, I just give up. I can't deal with it no more. Is it possible to disagree without being disagreeable? And for those who heard that but may not have a good understanding of what that saying is, you know, I like green, you like blue. Okay, that's nothing to tear the relationship apart because I like green or you like blue. Let's just respect the fact that you like, you know, I like green and you like blue. So we can disagree, but we don't have to be disagreeable. And then can a loving heart overcome a strife-filled heart, meaning that a person that just got so much anger and confusion balled up in them and they just want to let it out, want to spew it out every single day, you know, can a person that has love, that want harmony and peace and, you know, can that person's heart overcome a person that just wants strife and arguments and every single day? So I'm going to let it go to the panel. I'm going to start with Sister Trina and then Brother Gerard. You know, if you want to jump in after her. Sister Trina, what do you think about strife in a relationship?
I think strife in a relationship only starts when the couple starts to be selfish, you know, and starts to be, you know, jealous or envious of each other or untrustworthy, you know. And the beginning is all good and everything is lovely and they all in love. But then the more they get to know each other and get to realize the different attitudes and the different personalities that each other have, then those things change. And they get to see how each other really is. Because in the beginning of a relationship, I think a person puts on an act, you know, to get surprised, if you will. And so once they get to know each other, then it's, you know, it's no reason to act. It's time to be who they really are. And so being that, and that's a lie when they're putting on an act. So they're lying as they're going into the relationship. But if they come into the relationship being their real self, then the other person knows what to expect. And have the decision to say, okay, do I really want to be with this person? Do I really want to put up with their personalities, their attitudes, or do I, you know, or maybe I don't. Maybe I want to just go be with somebody else that I don't have, where I don't have to deal with this. So I think if people would be honest in the beginning and be their real self instead of putting on an act, then strife wouldn't be so bad in a relationship.
Okay. Brother Gerard?
Hello? That would help. That's a praise to the Lord. Yeah, but yeah, I think strife is almost on point, almost what Sister Trina said. it starts with lack of trust, and it goes, it starts with yourself. I think even though when you're dealing with it yourself, when you're diagnosed with the strife bug or the strife demon, I think that the biggest thing is that it comes off like this to you as the person who actually going through it. It comes off like as if it's somebody else's fault. It's the blame game. It's a whatever. It's not right sitting right with you. It's the other person's fault, as you want to say. So, and once you piggyback off that, let me turn this down. When you piggyback off that, and you're like, oh man, well, it's her fault because I ain't getting this. It's her fault because this ain't happening in the house. Or it's his fault because he ain't paying bills. And when you do that, you take the focus off yourself, and then you don't get an opportunity to realize that the problem of the whole time is you. It's something that you ain't doing yourself that caused you to have this strife. So strife is like a seed that's planted inside of you, and it's something that's been revealed outside of the relationship to allow you to say, okay, it's somebody else's fault, but it's really not somebody else's fault. It's something that you lack, or your cup internally is not filled as a Christian, and you push the blame on somebody else, not understanding what the real problem is. And it can get dangerous if you don't have that balance with God and have him referee that out or pray that thing away. It can turn it to something else. It lays seeds, you know, and then before you know it, it presses and it takes over other things. Then greed kick in, and then envy kick in, and before you know it, you know, you're at a point of no return. You know, that becomes psychotic, you know, and you see stuff that don't even exist, you know. You know, that's why probably a lot of things happen when relationships go south, and they be like, why did you break up with him, or why did, you know, y'all didn't, you know, work it out or go to counseling? Well, because he wasn't doing what he's supposed to do. He didn't go to church. He didn't stop smoking, or he couldn't get a job. But you knew those things before you got with him. He was a smoker. Or speak stink, you know. So strife will make you see stuff that don't even exist, and that don't even make sense of the whole reason why you're together. So that's a dangerous thing.
And now let me ask you this, because, and this is for the panel, and maybe Brother Dennis can jump in right here. Strife and arguments and conflict can transform a person. And let me kind of say what I'm talking about right here, and you guys tell me what you think about it. You can have a person who, by all accounts, before they got into a strifeful relationship, was a decent person, was a person who you rarely heard arguing, a person that really didn't say much, a person that really, if they had opinions, they kept their opinions to themselves, you know. But once they got into a strifeful relationship and an argument became the appetite of the day, disagreement became the way of living, then that person changed. And so now, going from a humble person to now an agitated or a frustrated person that, you know, is vocalizing their opinions now and is really not a joy to be around, what happens to a person when they go through that transformation where it's like, you know, they're a different person now because of a strifeful relationship? What? Anybody jump in on that right there?
Well, You gotta look at it like this, man. If you gotta transform yourself or transparent, when you think about that, it's more like, okay, I look at it as changing. And then when I sit back and I'm listening to what you're saying, and which it makes sense with what you said. And then when I look and then I read the definition of it, you know, from the definition, say angry, bitter, disagreement, over fundamental issues, conflict. Now, to me, that's saying that no communication. If you can communicate, then either y'all A, your sex partner, sex buddy, B, and I'm just elaborating, just going like real in depth in it, just to kind of clarify a little bit. I just believe that, honestly, it's more of a, you have to be somebody that you're not in order to probably, you know, keep the relationship balanced a little bit. Because obviously, if the communication is not there, which is right, and then fundamentals, like it's like basic, you know, like the basic know-how. You take your maid out to dinner, y'all go to the show, y'all go to a picnic or whatever. You know what I'm saying? It's like you got to kind of change it up a little bit, because after a while, that's going to start getting old. So it's like, it's kind of hard, you know, so when you say transparent, is that what you say, transparent? To the situation?
And your brother did it.
I hear you. Say that again?
Yeah, no, I was saying when somebody transforms, yeah, your phone, you probably got to, I was saying when somebody transforms from being a humble person, and then when they get into a strifeful relationship, they go from being humble to, you know, their whole personality changes.
Oh, okay. Right. So now we're at the definition, so... Can you hear me now? How does that sound?
Yeah.
Okay. That means that you have to change yourself again. You know, you have to change yourself, because when you go into a verbal disagreement like that, that means that you don't like what's going on. That person don't like what's going on, and that's where the conflict comes from. You know, maybe somebody probably want out of the relationship but don't know how to let go. You see what I'm saying? That could cause strife. Maybe, you know, you guys are wasting each other's time. That could cause strife. You know, and don't nobody know how to throw the towel in. And if that person do throw the towel in, you know, then you sit back like, man, did you, you know, was that a good decision to make? You know what I'm saying? Was that a good decision on your part to do? You know, it's all about trying to communicate and being happy in a relationship. You know, the fundamentals, basic fundamentals of a relationship. What is it that you can do to be happy in this relationship? Because first and foremost, you got to make yourself happy first in order to
right.
make your mate happy.
Right.
So that's the whole thing that I could see that will change a humble person to go into a sane, you know, insane maniac, or, and I'm not going to say maniac, but just, you know, just a argument, you know, say an argument machine, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Or, and last but not least is, if you knew that person was the way that person is, are you willing to change yourself to understand that person, what they're going through, or are you going to continue on trying to change that person? That's how I had conflict, you know, because I'm trying to learn and understand there's ways that I don't like that could cause strife, because I'm like, I'm not used to no person doing me like this, period, in a relationship. So those like the type of things that, you know, it's multiple things. But then when you come off into the scripture, it's like, okay, this is the perfect relationship. This is how it should be. This is what we should do. But a lot of people right now in this world, in this day of society, don't even know how to read a Bible. Or if they're reading the Bible, they're stumbling over the words and don't understand, or they're reading it for their own fair game. So, you know, those are my little things on there. I think that's what a change of person basically is, the communication and not knowing their relationship, though.
Okay. But you said something, too, about the causes of strife.
Mm-hmm.
And if a person is not happy and they don't know how to get out of the relationship, but they causing strife out of unhappiness, you know, that you say like three different things. And I want to ask Sister Trina.
Mm-hmm.
How should a person, if they have just said in their mind that, you know, I don't want to be a part of this relationship anymore, and so I don't know how to say bye, so we're just going to argue until that other person leave. What do you think about that argument?
Well, I think, to be honest, I really think that couple should sit down and get out of, you know, a little writer's pad and write down their likes and dislikes and allow each other to talk, you know, talk that over. And if they can't come to an agreement to try to work the relationship out, you know, sometimes people just get so tired of relationships that they just want to give up. So I think instead of wasting each other's time, the person needs to just say, okay, we just need to just go on and call it quits. We're not getting any further. We waste each other's time. We're not getting along. And you realize, I know you realize that. I see that, and I know you see that. We're fighting every day. We're arguing over the dumbest things. It's just, you know, it's just time to just let it go, because we have to understand people do grow apart. People do grow apart. And in my heart, I always resort back to the Bible. I don't know how anybody else, you know, live their life as far as relationships, but I always believe in my heart that, like you said before, Pastor Mo, there's absolutely no way to get around the Word of God and to live like God asks us to live. And so I really believe in my heart, if that woman or man, just be patient and wait on that one that God is going to send them, then a lot of those issues that they deal with, they really won't have to go through it. Because in the process of waiting, God is going to teach, like he's teaching me now, God will teach us how to do this, you know, how to act and how, you know, how not to argue. And, you know, a difference, because I was looking at the scripture today, and in Proverbs 17:14 says the beginning of strife is letting out water. It's like letting out water. So quit before the quarrel breaks out. So if you notice that the fight is going to start, be quiet. Just one of y'all got to walk away. It's not always good to be the one that wins the argument, because if you feel like you win an argument, you actually lose everything, because then the other person is still upset and still hurt and nothing is solved. So it's best to sometimes just walk away. Instead of just, you know, instead of staying there trying to be the one that's, you know, the best one in the conversation. And then Galatians 5:15 says, if you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. So it's just best to just, if you can't get along, leave, separate and pray to God that it don't be no kids involved. Then that way I believe it'll be more easier to go, you know, your separate ways. But I think it's a waste of time to just sit and argue all the time.
Well, let me ask Gerard this, Brother Gerard. If the lack of self love has an impact on strife in a relationship, how can we get to loving ourselves that we can show love to our significant other. Hello? Okay, Brother Gerard must put his phone on mute. Brother Gerard?
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you hear the question?
Yeah, you said the lack of love, right?
Right, of self. How, if just going off of what Brother Dennis, one of his points, if there's no love for self, how can we love our mate?
Oh, I mean, it's impossible. It's impossible to love anybody if you don't love yourself. because you would never be satisfied. Because you'll never put yourself in a position where you can go be in an appreciated heart, you know, or appreciated mind. Because for to be there, you have to have some type of serenity, some type of peace, and that's being happy with yourself. You know, and then you can appreciate somebody else saying that, oh, this is the perfect person for me. You can't even say that because you don't even know who you are. So you got to love yourself before you can even love anybody. And I think that's the biggest reason of divorce or abusive relationships or these fathers that don't even take care of their children is because they don't know who they are. They don't love themselves, because if they love themselves, they'll realize that that was a little of them that they left. So, yeah, that's huge, yeah. The lack of love, you got to love yourself before you're going to love somebody else. So that's
another question then. Are there a lot of people who don't love themselves trying to love other people first?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely,
and
that's going
and
on.
Why are they doing that? Why are people who don't love themselves trying to love other people?
Because they want to try to live themselves through some other people. And they know they're lacking certain things like education or a good job or a place to stay. Or things of that nature. They'll say, well, I'm going to meet this mate. They got everything that I don't have. And I know what they want. And I got almost 50% of what they're looking for. They're looking for a nice-looking woman or they're looking for a nice-looking man. And they can do some physical activities to keep them, you know, blinded by the truth. Then they can live their lives of they dream through them because that's all they're offering is just good conversation, good intimacy. And they're bringing all those rest of the problems with them, bad credit and all those things with them. And all that's going to do, if God is not involved in that, is destroy that person that worked real hard to get themselves up there.
Do you think that people really do get into a relationship to feel like an empty, lonely void that they have in their lives?
Absolutely. I've seen people, I didn't mean to cut you off, I have seen people have relationships with family members.
Wow.
Just to fill the empty void. Cousins. Wow. Intimate. You know, because they can't find nobody. They don't trust nobody. And they've been hurt so bad by a specific gentleman, they won't let anybody else close but family. Or it can be a beautiful sister that can let a man just destroy their self-esteem because he said nobody would want her but him. You know? And how could you be gorgeous, you know, and have everything a woman would always want and listen to somebody else to tell you about yourself? That don't make sense.
Because that woman has low self-esteem. Because if she, no matter how beautiful she is, if she don't have that confidence in herself, then she will meet a man that can be, that will be able to talk her down off of her beauty. She has to be confident.
Well, but you should be reminded, when a person is beautiful like that, they should be reminded every time they go outside.
Yeah.
Because you're going to be always somebody else. Like, hey, how you doing? Let me get to meet you. You know, people don't do that just because for nothing. It's something about you that's drawing you to other people. And that should be a clear indication that, you know, I'm honey. You know, I'm not lemon. I'm not, you know, bitter. I got to be something sweet because I'm attracted to different things. God gives us signs to let us know that we still exist, that we still alive every day. And we need to pay attention to those signs. He said we are the salt of the earth. And that will give us flavor to everything we walk in, touch. But once you lose that salt, you know, that's it. You can't put flavor back in there. You're a waste of time because you don't believe in yourself. Realize that you have a special thing for special people. And we got to learn not to keep wasting our time for people who hearts are hard that's not listening to the word of God.
Right.
And you know what, Brother Gerard, you said something right there. You said that knowing who you are and knowing that you're special, let's flip that. What about people who bring strife into the relationship? Maybe when they got into the relationship, they didn't see themselves as fine or see themselves as handsome or have that confidence that Sister Trina was talking about. But after being in the relationship, after fixing themselves up, after, you know, getting some good clothes and some good shoes and changing the hairstyle up and having a different sex appeal about themselves, now they go out and get be in the public, and they getting more attention, and they getting more notice from other people. Now, what's at home ain't good enough because now they have elevated themselves to a different standard or a different outward appearance that's drawing attention. When they wasn't doing that, you was good enough. But now that people are giving them attention, now there's strife in the relationship because now you're not good enough. And so I want the panel just to go over that. So, Brother Dennis, if you could jump in on that part right there. What about that? What about when a person get with you, they wasn't a 10. Maybe they was a, you know, in terms of what the world is saying, maybe they was a 3. You know, but now, after being with you for a while, and now that they've elevated themselves to a different, you know, outward appearance or standard, now they go out and people recognizing them. Now they cause, you know, they come home and want to be in conflict with you, you know, saying that you're not good enough or you don't appreciate them. All this conversation that you probably never heard before. But it's just coming out of the blue. It's coming out of nowhere now. You're not appreciating me. You don't tell me I'm beautiful no more. You don't say you love me. You know, you don't appreciate me. And that type of conversation is coming up. What do you say about that, Brother Dennis?
Well, can y'all hear me now? I don't want to keep asking because I know I'll be sounding choppy.
No. Yeah, go ahead.
Somebody creeping, man. Somebody cheating, man. or somebody, basically, they whisper sweet nothing in my girl ear, you know, to let them know. Or they probably watching a real couple, and they probably like what they see with the real couples, what they're doing, how they doing it. And, of course, it's going to cause confusion in your household because it's something brand new, you know. I think that person is trying to communicate it to you, but don't know how to communicate it to you. It's more like you throwing it in my face versus you sitting down talking to me, saying, "Hey, man, you know what? I saw X, Y, Z the other day, and me, you know, I think we should add that into our relationship or give that person that chance instead of just saying, man, Joe, you know, Brother Gerard just got a brand new leather coat. What you going to do about that?" You like, what? Wait a minute, hold on. That's strife right there, because our situation in our household could be totally different from Brother Gerard's and his household. But yet and still, you got this vision in your head thinking that it's time to change, which is good. You're supposed to challenge yourself to change yourself. That's cool. But I think it still needs to be communicated in a relationship. If you don't have communication in this relationship, I don't care what you get in. I don't care if you're in the best friend club. If you don't communicate with your best friend will look at you like, man, wait a hold on. You know, and I'm not saying like on, you know, the gay motion or anything like that. I'm just saying it to the point to where it's, if you don't communicate, period, man, it's gonna kill whatever you got going on. And then I'm going to take it back because sure. Right now I'm kind of going around in circles really quick. If you don't communicate it in a civilized manner, that way, well, two people can pretty much understand. You know how they say, walk me through this. I was watching a movie with Denzel Washington that was in it. He said, hey, I think it was Philadelphia, something like that. When he said, hey, walk me through this like I'm in kindergarten, step by step, so I can really pretty much understand. And sometimes you got to do that, you know, and let that person say, no, you can talk to me, give me straight, raw, and uncut. You know, at least that way you gave an option to break it down to that person. So that's what I think that's what it is, man. It's one of those three things. She's either cheating, he either cheating, or they see something that they like, they window shopping, and they feel like, you know, I need to step my game up, so my significant other got to step theirs up too, without communicating with them or not. And they could be going through something. You don't know. That's my point.
Wow. So, would it be a point of selfishness?
No. I think that's very selfish because your mindset is one, you want to change and you throwing it in my face, yes. But if you want to change and you communicate it to me, like far as breaking down to me, saying, hey, man, you know, I don't think we should live this way. I don't think we should do it like this. And you got some kind of plan or we both sit down and come to some kind of agreement. No. I feel like the other person has that right to feel a certain way. So that way you can keep that relationship kind of fresh or you can work on bettering yourself in that relationship. Because just like you said, that person might like red, I might like blue. That don't mean that we gotta, you know, not like each other. You know, that person might like a red Jaguar, I might like a red Toyota Celica, you know, a blue Toyota Celica. You know, that don't mean, you know, we just 'cause we got different tastes and class there, you know, which it can cause a confusion, but you should have known that coming into that relationship. You should know off front that representative is gonna wear off after a month or so. So you should know what you're getting into after at least a month or two, maybe 3 months next. That's about it.
Well, let me ask the panel this. And Sister Trina, you can jump in right here. If we did a poll to see where the source of strife comes from, is it more on the female side, or is it more on the male side, and when it comes to generating the strife in terms of bringing it out, you know, not what's causing it. So if somebody not taking out the garbage, or, you know, that's the cause of it, but when it comes to bringing it to the forefront, when it comes to actually speaking it where the verbal conflict and strife come into play, if we did a poll, where do you think the numbers are fall when between the man and the female of the person that's bringing the strife, that's bringing the, you know, the disagreement or argument out? What do you think those numbers are fall?
I think, to me, in my opinion, it seems like no matter what poll is taken, it seems like the woman is blamed for everything. It really
wow.
does.
Okay.
It just seems like the woman is blamed for everything. They say the woman argues too much, the woman complains too much, the woman acts too much. But they have to understand that it's men out there that do the same thing, the same exact thing. And this, the worst thing a person could do is go into a relationship insecure. And so I think that's where a lot of that strife comes from. a person going into a relationship insecure from them dealing with what they went through in their past relationship, which they haven't got over that yet. So now they're going into their new relationship with that same old garbage.
Wow.
And so if she asks her husband or boyfriend or whatever to put out the garbage, he said, no, well, I'll put it out later on. Then she's going to think, well, Reggie's going to do the same thing. And then instantly it's going to be an argument. Why you just can't put out garbage, you know? Or the same thing with the girlfriend. If he asks her, why don't you cook me something to eat? She said, wait a minute, I'm doing my homework. Well, why you can't do it right now? And, you know, the man could think his ex-girlfriend would be like that, you know? And so,
wow.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's now you said something, Sister Trina, and you said that, then we're going to take a quick break and come back. You said that it seems like the woman gets blamed for everything, regardless of what the situation is. And that bears the question, why? Why is that? If it's a stereotype, why is there a stereotype out there? If it's just a train of thought, why is there a train of thought out there that regardless of what it is, when it comes to asking, you know, what's going on in the relationship, the woman is going to get blamed. I wonder why. And you have some people, and I don't subscribe to this, but you would have some people that would say, going back to the garden, that, you know, and they have all type of views on it, but why didn't the serpent go to Adam? Why did it go to Eve? And why didn't Eve go to God, but Eve went to Adam to encourage him to do what the serpent, you know, kind of encouraged her to do, which was against what God wanted both of them to do. And so taking a stance that the woman is susceptible to that type of spirit to come into her, and which will also influence the household, influence the man in different ways. Now, I'm of the belief that what took place in the garden was an extension, actually, of what took place in heaven when Satan was kicked out of heaven. At that point, anything that happened on earth, especially if it pertained to God, it was his business. He was going to make it his business, if you will, to come in the midst of it and tear it down. So it's no secret that when you look at statistics on the marriage divorce rate, it's no secret why it's inching over 50% now, meaning that if 10 people get married this year, 10 couples, then 6 of those couples will get a divorce, which leaves only 4 couples in the year to be married. This is an example of what I'm saying. And I don't believe that those 6 couples had that much of a difference between them that couldn't be worked out by God. But at some point we allow those negative spirits to jump into us that don't have nothing good for us, but is seeking to kill, steal, and destroy. And the statistics are panning that out, that millions of people, that's just in the United States, but across the world, are getting separated in an institution that was founded and started and ordained by God Himself. And so, you know, one of the biggest things to do is to separate a family, is to kill off a family. And you don't necessarily kill off a family by murdering them. You kill off a family by separating the mother and the father. You know, snatching the kids out the house, and kids commit suicide because their mother and father divorced, or they being depressed and turning to food, and all type of negative repercussions that come out of it because of
the separation that take place. And so strife is just another tool to get in the midst of these relationships to bust them under and to tear them apart, to separate them. And then they leave with the mindset of, I ain't getting married to nobody else ever in my life. I ain't going to never get married again. And so that's saying what God initially founded, we're not going to participate in it. We're not going to participate in it because of you know, the experience that we had with our last, you know, mate, if you will, or our last spouse. And so I want us to think about that. I, it's easy for us to point the finger, or it's the woman's fault, or it's the man's fault, but it's harder to look deeper, you know, to the real scheme of things. Why is it that things that are against God are so pleasurable in this world? Go ahead.
Now, with the Adam and Eve scenario, I believe, because when I read that story, I believe the reason why the serpent did not go to Adam, because you have to remember that before God created woman, Adam spent a lot of his time in the presence of God. So the serpent knew he couldn't trick Adam. Now, the woman, when she came, she didn't spend as much time in the presence of God, because when God created the woman, the woman and the man spent more time with each other. They spent more time focusing on each other. But the man and woman both knew that God said not to touch that tree, not to touch that tree, not to eat off that fruit. And so what I believe is, my thing is, being that Adam was the head of the household, he was the covering of Eve, because God took Eve from him, from his bone, from his rib. So, you know, when a man and woman get married, then the husband is the covering. He is the covering. And so when the serpent went to her and said, okay, you know, tricked her and conned her into, that she was tricked, because it came from her lustly desires. Because even though God said not to touch that tree and eat that fruit, that's something that she thought about all the time. And so the devil put things in our mind. And so when we meditate on that, then he comes in after we have meditated on a long time. He comes in and he captures that. And so being that she meditated on that tree and wondered why she couldn't touch it, that made her want to touch it, because she got this, she couldn't touch it. And so the serpent knew that. And so when he came in and tricked her, and she went to her husband and said, okay, bite this fruit. And God never said what fruit it was, because he knew if you would get fruit, you know, you'd trip. So she said, bite this fruit. Being that Adam was the head over the household, the covering, he should have said to her, no, you know the Father said not to touch that tree, and no, I'm not going to eat of that fruit. Now, if he wouldn't have ate of that fruit, then God would have gave him another wife, because Eve was the one that sinned and you know, and did what God asked her not to do. But that was the lesson that God had to teach us about obedience. He was teaching us about obedience. These are the consequences if you are disobedient to God, because he said the wages of sin is death. And so when he told them not to touch that tree and they touched it anyway, the wages of their sin was death. Because you notice in the book of Genesis how Adam and Eve don't even last that long in the Bible, because guess what? They're dead now. And this only talks about their kids. But like I was saying before, if Adam wouldn't have ate that fruit, he was supposed to tell her no, because he spent more time with God than she did, so he knew better. He knew about the relationship of God, because he spent time in God's presence all the time.
Right, and one thing we're gonna go to a break right here, but let me just say this. What we have to be careful of,
mm-hmm.
is if the argument is that Eve was manipulated easily by Satan, and that's why he went to Eve, because she was in the flesh and she could be easily manipulated, and she wasn't here as long as Adam. And you know what we have to be conscious of is that when free will was given to Adam and Eve to freely choose God. That opened the door for anything else to come in and try to persuade them not to or use that free will to go against God, if you will. And so God didn't create us to be robots. He didn't want us, he didn't want to make us love him. He wanted us to choose to love him. And so when he created man, he created us, giving us free will. And when the serpent came to Eve, if Adam was following God, Eve could not have persuaded him. And so when we get into, that's why I say we got to be careful that we have the right understanding. And because Adam gave into Eve and knowingly disobeyed God, willingly disobeyed God, it was because of the free will that he had given his people, and they had chosen to do what God told them not to do. And so, you know, Adam was here first, and Adam was in the presence of God, but if that's all it took, then Adam never could have been persuaded by nothing to do anything against what God had told him to do. However, when free will come into place, it put everybody on the same page. And so when God issued out punishment, he didn't issue out punishment just to the serpent and Eve. He issued out punishment to the serpent, Eve, and Adam. They all suffered the punishment of God for disobeying him. And everybody shared responsibility and disobeying God. And so we don't want to make it, because that's how the enemy wants us to, that's another part of separation. Sin is sin. There's no greater sin than the other sin. And so when Eve sinned, and when Adam willingly sinned, she didn't hold a branch over his head or, no, she just said eat, and he did it. And then he tried to tell God, well, she made me do it. And then she tried to tell God that the serpent made her do it. So he said, come in, let me get all three of y'all together. And so it was sin that entered into the garden that influenced her, and she influenced him. And it had nothing to do with that he was here longer, because if that was all it took, he would have did the right thing after God had given him control over everything. You know, had given him power and dominion over everything, including the woman. But he did not respond appropriately in his obligation to God. And he succumbed to, or he willingly succumbed to what his wife told him to do. And that can branch off to say that maybe strife in our relationship takes place because we're listening to too many voices. I talked about in the commentary listening to the voice of God, but a lot of times what I'm hearing nowadays is that we're listening to different voices. We're listening to people who are in toe-up relationships themselves trying to mentor somebody that's in a relationship. Something in that whole equation is off. Somebody was in a relationship and couldn't handle it, work that out, but now they jump into your house and telling what buttons to push in your relationship, but they couldn't do it in their own. And so we have to go to God, and that's what Adam should have done. He should have gone back to God. God was there. He was present. And he could have just simply called out to his daddy, Father, Lord have mercy, I'm confronted with something right here. But he didn't. He didn't even turn to God. He just did what he, And that's our problem. We're not turning, you know, I believe that's a part of the problem is that we're not turning to God, but we're pointing the finger. Adam, you know, the Adam and Eve finger. No, it was the sin. It was the free will. And so we have to use our free will to choose God. If we don't have God in our relationships, then anything goes. It's like in the wrestling arena, they got a Royal Rumble. In the Royal Rumble, you got a whole bunch of men in one ring. And the challenge is whoever can throw all the men out the ring and be the last man standing is the winner. And we tend to do that in our relationships, in our house. How many times can I throw my wife out the ring? Or how many times can my wife throw me out the ring and stand in the middle of the ring? Then I'm winning. When in essence, we're losing sight of the bigger picture. It ain't about individuality. It's not about, you know, my bank account. It's not about your bank account. And that's what happened in the garden. Eve was off on her own individuality, doing her own thing. And in doing her own thing, that was an opportunity to provide another voice. And any time we idly sit by and we start doing our own thing and we move away from God, we are susceptible for that negative spirit to come into our psyche, into our spirit, into our minds, and make us do things that we ought not and should not do. So I didn't mean to get long right there. We was going to take commercial, but we just going to keep going because we got 10 minutes left. Gerard and Dennis, I believe y'all wanted to say something on that. Go ahead, Gerard.
Yes, sir. Sister Trina was dead on a lot of the things she was saying about how she felt how the plot is made with their strife and how the beginning to go as far as the Adam and Eve had started with them. But it is very true that, you know, Adam had the freedom to choose to, like, tell Eve, like, look, I ain't eating that apple. You know, you ate it, but you shouldn't have done it. You know, yeah, it's true enough that he had the power to do that. But based on what I was told, Eve, you know, wasn't no slouch either. She was well taught. You know, the word, just like just like Adam was, you know, and knowing that, you know, what happened with Adam and Eve back in the day, when a man subdue himself to a woman to please her, he do things and put himself out of line of God to make sure he can do whatever it takes to woo the woman. And that's going on today, you know, even if it's illegal, ungodly. If she say, hey, do this, do that, and, you know, your wife won't know, he going to do it anyway because he want to do whatever it takes to woo that woman. Now, if they kind of caught on to that when she said that, it kind of makes sense quite nasty. And he made a comment about, you know, why everything outside of God, you know, feels so good. And I was like, wow. So, that is a huge thing, you know, about how strife started way back in the day, even with Saul and King David, you know, on that. Saul had the opportunity to lead the army and brought up David, you know, and made him a great soldier. And as soon as he started getting success, he wanted to chop him down. And that strife got ugly, you know, and he should have been happy for David, but he wasn't. Sent him out to get killed, and he still didn't get killed. He handled business, and ain't doing nothing but make him angry, and it cost him his life. So it goes way back to the beginning of time, but I think strife is like, to me, it's like a disease. It's like the flu. And I don't think all start off with it. I think that it just happens based on what you've seen, done, or been, what you've been through.
Okay. Brother Dennis?
Oh, man, you don't get so famous on me. You don't forget my name. Can y'all hear me good?
Yeah.
Hey, man, I want to say what I gathered from that was, are all men of God soft, weak? She was right. She was dead on. Adam was the head of the household. The woman should follow. She, you know, when the man goes off to church with Christ to talk to him and do what he had to do, even though he already knew what was going to happen. And I think the tree, when it went out to Adam, that's when you gain knowledge and all that stuff, whatever. And like you said, with the free will, she had a free will, but at the same time, she lusted over something. So that means by her was lusting over something, it was way more lust in a relationship. So, and where you were dead on that was that it should have been communicated. You know, it's always that third dude that we're going to call the snake that's always got that slick tongue that's going to get in that woman ear. But if they bondage was strong enough to where would have known, even though she had knew, she knew the rules and regulations, but she still went back and did what she did. So, therefore, it goes to what you said, Sister Savage, with that the woman do get false. So you look at it up today, there are a lot of weak-minded females that get talked over with that slick tongue that gets them crazy, you know, to have them go against their household. Then you got some strong-minded women that are their own head of the household, which completely kicks Adam out the house, the equation, the supposedly be the man of God out of the equation. Then it goes back to that woman. So it's like a communication thing. It was no communication there. Even if she should have said, well, honey, you be gone. I know you be with God. You know, God, you go do your thing. And I'm just speaking out of just, you know, reality terms for the public. You go do your thing with God. I'm going to sit over here. Oh, man, let me flick on TV. Oh, man, HBO. Okay, HBO. Then you got the smooth P. Diddy or somebody on. Hey, man, you tired of this? You tired of looking like that? You tired of looking like that? Well, come try this. You know better. If he's the head of the household, the man of the house lays down rules and regulations. So, therefore, the man of God right now today is a lot of men of the gods in the churches, a lot of sweet ones, too, that we be seeing in the churches. So, I mean, I know that Adam is getting replaced. So, I mean, my question is, you know, how can that Adam rekindle? The head, regained the kindle of the head of the household. And another thing that Sister Trina said, that they died in the Bible. It died out. They would start talking about their generations, their siblings, you know, the ones that, you know, everything else was in the Bible. So, Sister Trina, you're hitting it dead on. I got to give you props for that, man. You know, I think it's a lot of Adams and Sams in the equation now. You know, yeah. Instead of the Adams and Eves, it's a lot of Adams and Edwards now. You know, yeah. They make more now. So that's my thing, man. So it's like the whole key to this is talking to God and God giving you that answer. He still give you free will at the same time. That's a beautiful father, man. I don't care what nobody say. You got to know better. You got to communicate. Same sex communicating with each other. That's what it is of the day. Sodom and Gomorrah. You already see that. Y'all already see that now. So, right. You know, it's just something to think about. You know, I can't say wannabe man of God, because a lot of the gay guys, they be clapping and popping and churching and gyrating and singing all of God's songs, doing their things better than the actual straight dudes, the real Adams. You can't even get a real Adam to come to church because he always has to work. So oh, that's my thing, man. You know, but y'all, man, all y'all hitting the dead on, man. You got that snake. You got to communicate with your girl, or that snake go ahead and tell her to bite that apple. Well, he's gonna be biting that apple. I'm sorry, Pastor.
And what happens is that the further away that humanity moves away from God, he leaves to us what we've moved to. So, for example, if we moved away from God for worldly possessions, he'll let you get it, but then he'll take it away. You see it on the news now that a lot of superstars who gained celebrity status at one point in their lives thought that they was riding high, but a lot of them now are filing bankruptcy. You know, you had a lot of people who have made gods before him. He is allowing them to dwell with that thing that they made their god, and he's allowing them to suffer. And so you got a lot of people who have made people their gods. You know, if you're living with somebody and they control everything that you do, everything that you think about, everything that you say is about that person, is concerning that person, and your whole world is consumed with that person, that person is your god. The same thing with a job. If every minute of the day you're talking about a job, thinking about a job, and you know, you hate the people on your job and this, that, and the other, that job has subconsciously become your god, and he'll let you suffer right there with what you've made your god. And so we have moved so far away from God, and the world we live in is getting scarier and scarier, and this is the reason why we need Jesus more than ever, is because the further we move from God, we see the results of that. You know, the negative columns on everything you could think about is going up. The positive columns are going down in every area. And so when that takes place, we're living in a society that has put God on Sundays. You know, put God when I can get to him. And when we do that as his people, as his creation, and him being a jealous God, you know, we got to find our way back to him. And so I think the broadcast tonight has done that, and I praise God for it, that he has used us, the panel, to move the conversation of strife in relationships, arguments, and going at each other's head on a daily basis, and we moved it to a consensus that without God, you left with what you left with. And if one person got God, or and the other person don't got God, or if we got people speaking it but not believing it, then we got a long road to go. So I just praise God for everybody. Listen, Sister Trina gave out some scripture verses that would be helpful. I gave out in the commentary some scripture verses that would be helpful. Brother Dennis gave some commentary. Brother Gerard gave some commentary. Sister Trina gave some commentary on strife and a relationship. You can listen to this program again by going to Blog Talk Radio, Dennis Live, and you can hear, or going to Western World One, WESTON World, WORLD1ONE.com, and you can go and listen to the archives of the broadcast. We pray that things work out better in your relationship, and we thank you for tuning in and listening to us on the Relationship Hour. Till next time, we'll see you later, and God bless.
God bless.
Tune in.